just close my eyes again. Climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train. Trying to take away my worries of today and leave tomorrow behind.
The gateway to the West. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, toll free, dial 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, toll free at 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George at area code 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line is open at area code 818-501-4109. International callers may reach George Norrie by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5, then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Indeed, and we'll be back with more as we talk about all this technology and how it can affect all of us on Coast to Coast AM. So, Richard, is the real effort here then to protect the freedom of thought with, as you said, without harming people as long as they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's freedom of thought can't be viewed purely from the individual's perspective. You have to take into account society at large. And in fact, that's one of the reasons that freedom of thought is so important is, like freedom of speech, the diversity of thoughts, the diversity of viewpoints that can be available when people are free to think only adds to a richer and more flourishing society. So certainly if somebody is getting to the point where they are creating a danger to themselves or certainly to other people, then the government, it's appropriate for the government to step in. But short of that, freedom of thought is so important and such an essential part of who we are as people that the government ought to have very heavy barriers it has to cross before it can infringe on that right.
So you're saying basically, and let's say someone overindulges with the use of marijuana to the point where he becomes just out of it, gets in a car, commits an accident, kills someone perhaps, you think we should throw the book at them as somebody who would be drinking, for example?
Absolutely, absolutely.
The question then remains is, what are the real reasons then behind holding back on this? I mean, some people will believe that one of the main reasons why drugs continue to flourish in this country and around the world is to fund black ops programs even beyond what even governments might want to do.
Well, I think there's, like, again, a lot of different theories as to what is really motivating the war on drugs. I think that it has no single motivating factor. There's one factor that I've termed capitalism, and that is that there's an incredible amount of money to be made now in surveilling and policing people. This is the growth industry. I mean, the stock market went way down after the events of 9/11. Some of the stocks that went up the next day, though, were related to biometric surveillance, you know, looking at people's faces in an attempt to recognize mm-hmm. who they are through surveillance cameras. So there's a big industry, a huge machine has been built, a Frankenstein-like monster has come out of the way that we deal with drugs. And we can look back at alcohol prohibition, which was certainly the first experiment in prohibiting a mind-altering drug in our society. And people generally will say that that was a failed experiment. It produced more harm than good for society. It generated corrupt police officers. It generated organized crime. It led to actual adulteration of alcohol, and it made alcohol more and more powerful because people wanted to brew the strongest stuff they could. If they're going to smuggle gallons of this, you want to smuggle as little as possible. So all of those same factors we see now in drug prohibition when it's related to these various pills and powders, it doesn't work. It didn't work with alcohol. It's not working now, and it's really going to be harmful as we move further into a world in which there are more and more of these various sorts of technologies and drugs available. It's something that for a sustainable policy of the future, we cannot rely on something as crude and harmful as just trying to throw the criminal law at problems. That doesn't work, and it just makes not only does it not work, it makes the situation very, very bad, and it gives the ultimate complete power to the government, which is the last thing we want to do when we're talking about freedom of thought. That's something that has always been reserved from the government, something that's been said to the government, hey, look, stand back from this. Don't encroach on freedom of thought. You can come forward and alter a citizen's behavior, but not their way of thinking. So until it gets to behavior, until it presents some sort of a social danger, traditional principles of law will say that the government has no business interfering, particularly with criminal charges.
I wonder also what would happen to our jails if they started decriminalizing some of these obvious usages. Probably would empty most of them, don't you think?
Well, there's 2 million people in jail now in the United States, and another 4.5 million who are on probation. So what's that, 6.5 million people? Probably about a quarter of those are involved in the criminal system because of drugs. So it would absolutely make a big impact on the prison industry. It would provide a lot more money for putting into education or doing other things that actually could reduce people's desire to use some of these drugs in dangerous ways. I think overall, prohibition is going to be seen as an archaic way of dealing with social ills, and that drugs aren't something that you want to prohibit. They're a technology that you may want to work to channel into its best uses. But prohibiting anything, again, just gives the government 100% of the power. And technology is not something, particularly when it relates to cognitive functioning, that the government ever ought to be given 100% of the power on.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to our wild card line to get things going. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to talk to ask Richard about, I went down to Brazil last year and took some ayahuasca and took part in a ritual down there, and it was actually one with David Icke, and they brought in some people from a local church where it's legal to do ayahuasca because they're worried about possibly getting raided if it didn't have an affiliation with the church. I was wondering if his group was doing any work with some of the churches in the United States that are trying to legalize ayahuasca.
Mm-hmm. Well, for listeners who aren't familiar with ayahuasca, this is a shamanic potion that's brewed in traditionally down in South America. It produces very strong and vivid visions that last an evening. It's also not a pleasant thing to experience. There's, all kinds of somatic effects from vomiting and losing bowel control. And this is not a drug, not by any means a recreational drug. Now, in the United States, there are people who use this as part of their religious practice. And in Brazil, the government has recognized that that's legitimate and ought to be protected, just as, the Catholic religion should be. But when people have come to the United States and sought to practice their religion using ayahuasca, some of these people have, in fact, encountered police state-type tactics, which would have the ayahuasca seized, threats of criminal actions brought against them. So the CCLE has done some work to defend what we think are freedom of thought issues related to ayahuasca. It's something that, on the one hand, it looks like it really is a very small issue that would only affect a handful of people. But on the other hand, the issues that are at play there, we think, are really big. And the same thing can be seen with respect to, let's say, the Native American church and the use of peyote, which is legal in the United States under federal law, but isn't continually narrowed and narrowed and narrowed to the point where, you know, if you're not a Native American and a member of a particular church, the Native American church, use of peyote for religious purposes is, by and large, a criminal act today. So we have a situation in the United States where, despite the fact that our whole history was based on religious freedom, there are some people who are absolutely peaceful, absolutely sincere religious people whose sacrament has been declared illegal, and the government isn't willing to try and make a reasonable accommodation, and instead is out to put these people in jail. So that's an area of the law that really needs some, we think, updating and injecting of fair principles that really respect some of the basic principles that our country was founded upon.
So your organization, of course, the Center for Cognitive Liberty and Ethics, is pretty all-encompassing. I mean, among the topics we've talked about tonight, you're really opposed to anything that deals with the invasion of or the control of somebody's thought power.
That's in a nutshell. That's right. And there's only three of us here, so we're, fortunately, we're very interested in what we're working on, and these things fascinate us intellectually, and also we think that they're very important, present really important issues. So you're right, we're covering a lot of territory, but we also have a lot of people out in the world who are supporters of our organization and who can help us with sending us ideas, information. So it's really a big national and, in fact, international network now of people who are thinking about these topics and working to produce more freedom for now and our children and our grandchildren.
All right, next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You are on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
Hi. I have a very interesting story that is similar to the dentist story.
Mm-hmm.
This is a woman who's a very dear friend of mine, and I've known her for many, many years. She comes from a very eccentric family, well-to-do, well-educated family, and they have tended to be quite cruel to her over the years. And interestingly, a couple of years ago, they had decided that they wanted her to be homeless and basically out on the streets. And she's an educated woman, perfectly capable of holding down a job. They managed to put her in a mental institution. And while she was in there, they tried to force her on drugs, and she refused. She just did not want to do that. And eventually it had to go to court, and it came down to the point where she actually had to take something. And she told me that the effects of these drugs, her whole body had broken out into these horrible hives. Her lips had swollen up, and she was in such pain from breathing in her esophagus. And she just basically felt, that she was being poisoned or something like that. And they finally did let her out, but, ever since then, her family has just, been trying to get her put back in, and they're trying to get her on SSI, trying to get her into homeless shelters, and it's just an amazing story how she hasn't been able to get any help from anyone. And I was wondering if there are any, this must be a very common story.
Are there many cases like this around the country, Richard?
Well, we certainly hear a lot about them. There's also other groups that are really focused particularly on the rights of people who are involved in, like, the mental health system. So those organizations you can find if you look on the Internet. Our organization is interested in those issues, and in the Dr. Sell case certainly participated in trying to elaborate some of them for the Supreme Court. But our view, or our focus, because, again, we kind of have to keep it some boundaries on it, is really looking at people who would by almost all accounts, be considered to be normal, and who are either having their thought processes invaded through the use of brain fingerprinting technology or hypersonic sound or regulations and prohibitions that are stopping them from thinking certain ways.
How much of this, Richard, do you think is really their efforts, whoever they may be, for control, total control?
I think, you know, it depends on if you, when you, I would have different answers depending on when you asked me, depending on my mood. And so I'm actually sort of somewhat optimistic tonight, and I would say that I don't buy into, I think that the future is going to be better than the present. I think.
Have you changed your mind before, though? You say you're optimistic tonight. What about yesterday?
Well, yesterday I was probably, you know, pessimistic at some point in the day. I've, you know, vacillate between the two poles. Sometimes I see issues. Sometimes I see things that appear to me as though, you know, freedom of thought is under an incredible attack, and that the way out, every door is being closed to a world in which such a freedom would continue to exist. On the other hand, I see other technologies and other people who are working to provide routes that will always keep freedom of thought a vibrant part of who we are. And those forces are continually wrestling. Who's going to win, I don't know, but I tend to think that overall the history of the world has been one of improvement, and that we're better off now than we were, 100 years ago or 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago. So I hope that that trend will continue, and that some of the technologies we're talking about will actually lead us to be able to engage and produce a world that, you know, is ever improving.
Let's move to our first-time caller line. It's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Yeah, good morning, George. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Yeah, I got a couple of questions for your guest here. I work in the transportation industry. Actually, I'm a pilot. I'm just outside of St. Louis right now, just up on the Missouri River.
Ah, okay.
And actually, I've talked to you before from the Tennessee. But, you know, he uses the word prohibition in working in an industry that's highly regulated by the Coast Guard and the Department of Transportation. I'm kind of curious, did you ever stop to think that this is a safety issue? Because drugs, even some prescription drugs in this industry, are completely prohibited. Even Prozac is a very big issue with the Coast Guard. And, I mean, freedom and everything like this is, you know, these particular drugs, I don't see it as a freedom thing for everybody. It's a safety factor. It's a safety factor in this industry. How would you feel if I was taking 60,000 barrels of crude oil through New Orleans Harbor or through St. Louis Harbor and ran over a bridge because I was smoking a joint?
Well, exactly. Or if you were piloting a cruise ship, I surely wouldn't want to be with you then either.
Yeah, I think that we've addressed that issue. That you're presenting if you were to smoke a joint and drive operate a plane or a car or a motorcycle, you're putting other people at danger. And that's when the law, when our society has agreed upon the rights of the government to come in and say no to you. What I'm talking about is the fact that a lot of these prohibitions reach far beyond that. They reach to a person who, rather than have a martini on a Friday night in their home, wants to smoke a joint, and the government is saying, no, if you do so, we're going to put you in jail. And even more so, somebody whose own doctor tells them that the use of marijuana for, let's say, treating cancer or Crohn's disease or any other kind of chronic illness or pain, whose own doctor tells them that this may be of benefit, the federal government is still saying, no, if you do that, you're going to go to prison if we can get our hands on you. Now, that has nothing to do with safety issues. That's about freedom.
Why is it? Is it because of the liquor lobby that it's okay to drink, but it's not okay to do drugs?
There's, again, lots of theories on that. One of the theories is that, yes, the alcohol lobby as well as the pharmaceutical companies are afraid of permitting other medicines and also other inebriants to work their way into society because that would cut into their market. You know, marijuana up until 1937 was an approved drug for use, you know, medicinally. At that point, the government changed its stance politically about marijuana, and the next year it was erased from the U.S. pharmacopoeia.
Well, I do know, talking to some people who have had glaucoma, Richard, that it has helped them dramatically.
Mm-hmm. I've heard similar reports from many people who have found the medicinal benefits of cannabis. I've also heard people who have had incredible psychological breakthroughs from the use of a drug like MDMA. So there's, you know, there's no question that these drugs can be used in dangerous ways. The point is that the law ought to go after danger to others when these drugs are used that way.
Should be all or none, huh?
Permit people to use them safely and respectfully when that's what they're doing.
All right, we'll be back with more phone calls when Coast to Coast continues.
Get it in writing with the After Dark Newsletter. Subscribe by calling 1-888-727-5505. I gave you all I had to give. Why did it have to stop? You've blown it all sky high by telling me a lie without a reason why. You've blown it all sky high.
Yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. People eat marshmallow pies. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers that grow so incredibly high. Newspaper taxis appear on the shore, waiting to take you away.
From the Gateway to the West, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies toll-free, dial 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies toll-free at 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George at area code 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line is open at area code 818-501-4109. International callers may reach George Norrie by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5, then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Sometime this month, by the way, another roundtable discussion with Michael Rupert, John Rappaport, Stan Dale, so make sure you're part of that. Speaking of being part of something, the After Dark newsletter is available to you when you call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Moments to go, but you'll still get the free CD. An Art Bell interview with the late Father Malachi Martin. Take advantage of it. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie without my little stinger to tell me to come back on. Let's go west of the Rockies. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Hi.
It's really good to talk with you and listen to you. As always, I can't believe I'm still awake. Hi, Richard. Your show is so interesting, and it's very interesting to me because I have no questions. I just have something to validate. In the late 70s, my ex-husband was, now my ex-husband, thank goodness, anyway, was trying to get me on lithium because he said that my ideas were grandiose and everything else like that, and I had a real joy for living and everything else. And I got talked to a psychologist, and I went on lithium, and then I went to talk to somebody else because I just didn't have, something died. And so I went and talked to another doctor, and he told me, he said, get off of it right now. And he said, just take it away. And he said, if, like, they're going to give you a hassle about it, just pretend, you know, keep getting them, whatever, but just, you know, don't take them. So in, after about 6 months, finally they wore off a bit. But in June of 1981, I wrote this, and this is very scary because it was along the lines of what you've been talking about, Richard. This is how it goes. I was in a comfortable room talking animatedly with a smiling man. Next, I was in a cold room facing several men in doctor's jackets, dark blue pants, striped ties, and glasses, all with marine-like haircuts. They were saying, you'll get your money when we get what we want. I said, but I've earned the money you owe me. And they said, you have to give us, you have to rid yourself of your present thoughts. You must become desensitized, dehumanized, so you can collect what you were owed. You mean I have to give up to rid myself of myself? I have to become a we? Yes, of course. Society does not need you. It doesn't have anywhere to put a you, so we will have to do what is best. For you, for all. For you, I said. I sat and thought for a while, my eyes closed. Then I opened them and asked, how do I know I will get my money after you deprogram me? Isn't that what you intend to do, called? You are past brainwashing people now, aren't you? Yes, that is what it is called, more or less. You aren't guaranteed you will get it, but no one is. I can get as far as in life as you've gotten. Yes, and you might, you just might. Who is to say? You might just meet the right people. I looked at each individually and saw no individual. Then I asked, what if I said I don't want the money, that I don't need it? Oh, but you do. Whether you want it or not, you still have to step into our little room next door. Either way I lose, I said. In your way of thinking, probably, yes.
Okay, hey, hold on for a second. You're reading a book here to us, and we don't have that kind of time.
Right.
All right, do you have a question?
No, but the last part of this is, no, I don't want money from you. I want truth.
Well, I think that, you know, what the caller's sort of one thought that comes to mind from this is that, you know, when we look at, we talked tonight about both, you know, drug prohibition and also about the right to use certain drugs. And the flip side that people often don't realize, when you're going to give the power to the government to say that this or that psychotropic drug can be prohibited and you can be made a criminal for using it, the flip side to that power is that the government is only one step away from saying it's not about the drugs that we're saying you can't use. Now it's about the drugs we're going to make you use. And in the world in which we're going to have more and more drugs that will affect the way that we can think, I think that we're walking down a very dangerous road when we're willing to give the government the power to either make us say no or to make us say yes. That's a right that ought to reside in the individual.
It's almost like a don't do as I do as I say.
I guess
that
so.
That kind of a situation?
I guess so.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to say that what this man is talking about is already being done, but it's being done in very high-tech ways in the West, where I
such
came
as,
from.
Such as?
Using computers, using the comtrails. The first time I listened to your show was a few days ago, and I was just amazed about when you were talking about the comtrails, and I said, I didn't know that was the name of them, but for just to try to cover a lot of stuff real quickly, they're using electromagnetic frequency, FM frequency, and also, you know, different energies and stuff like that. People that are trying to resist what's being done, if you're caught tracking their signals and stuff, they will come and raid your house and take your computer system. This has been done by two people that I know. And what they did in the state of Montana was to narrow the ability of someone to be able to have legal recourse.
Who's that? Well, you keep saying
they. Let me slow down. A person, if you caught them doing this and you kept track of it, I did, okay? I kept track of everything they were doing, things that were done to me. And the legal recourse in Montana is that if you report it to the police, for instance, your local police, if they don't report it to the next level of police, which is the county, there's nothing you can do. And that's how controlled the government and legal system is in Montana.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people out there, Richard, that believe that the government is infringing on their rights right now, even beyond some of the things we've talked about tonight. And that,
right.
You know, and it can't be stopped.
Well, I hear from a lot of those people. And, you know, I do my best to sort of research this and stay up on these various technologies. And the ones that I've been able to determine are, you know, in my way of analyzing things, sort of real or potential threat or potential, you know, boon to thinking, we've got on our website. There's a lot of stuff I hear that, you know, I just have no way of knowing whether it's true or not true. There's some very scary accusations that are made that I hope aren't true. But on the other hand, I know that the government has claimed a great deal of power under the Patriot Act just in the last 3 years. And, you know, hopefully that's not going to go any further. We certainly don't want it going into this area of addressing how we can think or can't think.
East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. Before I say anything, I'd like to preface this by saying I do not promote the use of any drug, or would I turn anyone on to any drug for recreational use, because it's just my personal belief.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'll tell you, I do believe that the government's attempt to eradicate marijuana in the throughout the 20th century has led to the use of cocaine and all the other man-made drugs. It's a weed which grows and can grow in your backyard, and I don't think that it doesn't have some certain side effects and some negative side effects, but you're talking to a man who saw his father virtually starve to death because he was so afraid of that drug, that because it does have a beneficial side effect, which it makes you hungry and increases your appetite if you have cancer. I think it would have extended my father's life, but he was too afraid to use it because of the false things they told him all of his life, that it would make him do all these things which he would have never done.
Right.
You know, the lies that were fed to him all his life. And it's just a sad state of affairs when our country can tell you that our naturally growing clean weed is poison, and yet they're in the business, the pharmaceutical companies of this country and in the world, are in the business of manufacturing non-clean drugs for certain purposes. And, of course, you wouldn't see, there would be no cocaine in this country if it wasn't for the past 40 years of eradication. I just don't think it would have happened. at all. I could not see it because, and I think it costs 7 cents a pound to grow marijuana, and yet it sells for what, I don't know what to, it costs $2,000 a pound, something like some outrageous price. But it's just unbelievable what this country has wasted, and in manpower, and put people behind jails and in bars, and it's just nuts. It's I cannot even think that anything or anyone with any mind at all could just make such a terrible error.
So I think, and Richard, maybe you can jump in here. I think that politicians are so petrified of even tackling this issue for fear that the masses will vote them out of office that nobody touches this. Is that a possibility?
Well, yeah, certainly. I think first I just want to say that, you know, I think that's a tragic situation that your father had to face, and it's something that, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in our country are facing right now, for the same reason, that there's a medicine that they may believe would help them, but they're afraid to use it, or they cannot get access to it because it's illegal. You know, our policy, our principle here at the CCLE is not pro-drug or anti-drug. It's really pro-mind, and it sees pro-choice and a new dimension of pro-choice, and that's related to those substances that would affect how you think.
Well, what would you legalize right now if you were in charge of all this?
Well, the first question is, it's the government, in order to make laws, has to have the authority to do that. So, you know, the question, my answer to the question wouldn't be as simple as just legalizing things. I would start from the principle that, you know, the government is not designed to be paternalistic, and that in the efforts to be paternalistic, you intend to treat people as means, well, you know, you essentially don't treat people as people. You treat them as a way to push a particular policy. And that paternalism really doesn't have a place under our principle of individual freedom or of a democracy. And so with respect to technologies and other cognitive affecting drugs, I would say again that this touches on these very core principles that have always animated our Constitution, whether it's religious freedom, whether it's freedom of speech, which is now recognized that one way to stop speech or to limit freedom of speech is to limit the thoughts that people can have before they're able to express them. You can truncate entire speeches if the person's never allowed to enter into the thought or to have those cognitive moments when the thought blooms for them. So I would take a step back and say, look, you know, this idea of the government going out and policing victimless crimes, and again, my focus is on cognition, so I would say on policing victimless crimes that are centered on cognition, that's out the window. That has not worked. That's produced a whole bunch of harm. It continues to produce harm, and if we rely on that model into the future, we're going to be walking down a very dark road, not only in terms of various control technologies that will become available to the government, but also because we're going to miss incredible opportunities to produce a society that is going to be one in which we're all going to have, you know, more beneficial, more life-enhanced experiences. So freedom of thought, I guess, would be my principal way of sort of delineating how we're going to go about handling technologies. And that would mean if a person wants to use these things and they're using them without harming others, then that's their freedom to do so. If it moves into the area of, you know, driving a car on the freeway in an altered state, that's not safe. That's dangerous to other people, and that would be stopped immediately.
Richard, as the clock ticks, we only have a few more minutes left, so I want to chat with you about where does your organization take this, not just the ability, of course, to try to legalize some of the things you're talking about, but also the other issues involved, too, the way they're trying to get into our brains and our thought. What do you do next?
Well, we're working on a bunch of different avenues, and the primary thing I think that's helping us now and it's moving this forward is bringing in people who care about these issues, who believe that, in fact, there is a battle going on over our minds now, and that this battle is going to be one of the primary battles that's going to affect the lives of our children and our grandchildren. And so for people who, you know, who are listening to me right now and believe that some of these issues are very important and feel in some way a resonance with this idea of freedom of thought, I would invite those people to visit our website, get involved in our organization, work with other organizations that are looking at this, try and educate yourself on various issues related to cognitive enhancement as well as cognitive control, and hopefully join together to move this in a direction in which the world in the future will hold more and greater promise for thinking and not find us all sitting in cinder block cells.
Tough call, Richard, to go against what we've been taught since we were young kids, isn't it?
Well, that's
not an easy call.
That's always the challenge, is to overcome your own limitations.
Richard, good luck to you.
Thank
appreciate
you
being on Coast to Coast.
Thanks for having me.
By the way, don't forget, think rain for Southern California. As a matter of fact, Tim just fast-blasted me from L.A., and he said, I just went outside for a moment. Clouds everywhere. Think rain. Indeed. Get rid of some of those fires. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Howard Morton in St. Louis, Lex Lonehood, the webmaster, and his webmaster assistant, Sean LaDussure, Barbara Simpson, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next program. Until then, be safe, everyone.